excited to have Lisa Ryan on the podcast today. Lisa's a senior vice president at Heyman & Associates, which is an executive search firm that specializes in communications, marketing, public affairs, and investor relations. She is focused in particular on really anything that falls under the corporate affairs umbrella. So we're really excited to have Lisa on the show today. She's part of the Value Added series, and I think you're going to find a lot of interesting detail on how the job market's changing and how you can be prepared. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Why, thank you. So happy
nice
to be here.
Yeah, nice to see you on your turf. So I always like to start the show out and just ask kind of, what are you seeing right now? What's been kind of top of mind for you?
I think there's a lot going on out there now. I think a couple of things. One, people are changing jobs, so I think that's all really, really positive. But to me, the really big thing that we're seeing is people are changing jobs. Well, I always say there's never going to be a forever home. People don't stay, as we all know, people don't stay in jobs their whole careers, so they're changing jobs. But the challenge is communications people understand why communications people are changing jobs. HR has not caught up to that yet, so they're still questioning, gee, you only stayed here for 3 years. Why? It's got to change. The whole industry, I think the business model is different, so the world is changing, and I think that we've got to change with it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that, because it seems to me that HR is often the filter, right? Like, I've noted that I have a friend who's in the middle of a job search, and I keep asking him about it, and he keeps saying, well, I'm not getting to really the hiring manager because I'm filtered out by HR.
Exactly, right? And that's the whole challenge. So we face it even in the search world. Typically, there are at least one, if not more, HR people involved, and they're questioning us on the candidates more, and we're not even with the client yet. So you're right. They're
so
the
before
filter.
Before you even get them in front of the client, really, ever face to face.
Yeah. We have one client where we have multiple HR people on the call, on our update calls every week, and they question every move that someone makes.
Interesting.
And they'll knock people out, and they can be perfect for the job. Mm-hmm. But if you can't get past HR, you're getting knocked out. And think of the opportunities that don't use a search firm.
Right.
That are only, it's an HR person doing it. HR people, I don't think, clearly understand what the function is. And I can't put the guilt on them, because one minute they're doing a communications job, the next minute they could be looking for a finance person. They can't be the expert, but their filters are so tight that good people are not getting through.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so that was one thing I wanted to ask you, is that, you know, all the numbers I see is we keep reporting more or less record unemployment, mm-hmm. right? So it would seem like there's a really tight labor market. So if you were going for someone, you would think there would be more flexibility to say, hey, this candidate isn't exactly a traditional candidate. However, here's the reason you should look at them.
Right.
But they're not even having that?
There are times. Look at who the hiring person is. If they've changed jobs a number of times, if they've kind of gone that non-traditional route to their current role, they're going to understand someone who comes from a different background. But we all know people who have done very traditional ways up and maybe doesn't have the diversity of industry experience, has stuck with the same industry for years.
Yeah.
They don't understand why someone would make those moves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think people are getting more flexible with it, but we still see some rigidity.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that really interesting too. I before my current employer was involved in the search, and it was interesting with that recruiter, which was very rigid. If you didn't literally have done the same job, the same mm-hmm. exact job before, then you wouldn't be considered for this job. Which made no sense to me,
right.
Because if you'd already done that exact same job,
why would you go back and do it again?
Exactly.
You know? So
exactly. And we have clients who say, we want someone, it's actually probably what you're saying, we mm-hmm. want someone who's done the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not someone where this is a step up.
Yeah.
And we look at them like, why, especially in this market,
yeah.
someone is not going to make a move to do the same exact thing. As I always say, all you're doing is you're changing the four walls and that's it. Why would you do that?
Right.
People don't want to go into jobs where they're, also, people don't want to go into jobs where they're maintaining.
Right.
You know, in this field, people like to build.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's build a new program, build a new new staff, maybe it's a turnaround situation. That's what gets people excited.
Yeah.
Not, please go in. And you know what, Paul? Don't upset anything. Just keep it moving. Who in their right mind is going to make a move like that?
Yeah. Well, I think that's absolutely right, especially at a senior level, because it's the excitement is the build, right?
Right.
And the change and the, you know, because then it puts you to the test too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you is this issue of longevity on the job, right? How long you've been in a position, because everything I hear about, you know, millennials and how they think about mm-hmm. their career or career path is there isn't a traditional career
right.
anymore, right? It's all about experiences. And
mm-hmm.
I think about that with my team. It's like, here's your current job. What else are you interested in? So as those opportunities come up, we can look to slot you for
right.
projects or other things. So I guess the thing is like with the bouncing around that people might do, how does someone address that with if you get the chance to, if you're not immediately blocked out by HR?
Yeah, by HR.
Right.
I think that one, if you stay within your own organization, but you're given a rotation, or you raise mm-hmm. your hand and say, you know what, I want to take that on. It's something totally different. Let me have that opportunity. I mean, I think that happens more at the, you know, kind of that mid-level
mm-hmm.
where people will do it. But I think what you have to talk about if you're a senior level person is what you really accomplished during that time. You went to do X. What was the result of that X? How did you impact the bottom line? That's what everybody, you know, it's all about. You have to have the business acumen. You've got to come in with knowing the business, and that's what everybody's looking for. How'd you move the needle?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people
mm-hmm.
want to know.
Mm-hmm. And so that could be directly tied to sales or growth.
Yep.
What other kinds of things could it be tied to?
It could be if it's more in a regulated industry and it's more a public affairs driven project. What did you do? What did you accomplish in that?
Mm-hmm. So policy outcome,
yep.
change in legislative agenda,
absolutely.
Whatever it might be.
Yes.
Okay.
All of those things. And also, if it's maybe you have to rebrand a company, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
How did you accomplish that? What's the, again, that's going to have an impact on how you move the needle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some people are looking for, okay, how'd you move that stock price?
Right, right. So I have a random question for you, but I was with a senior communications person recently, and he said to me, you know, in all my jobs that I've taken on, I've never really shown anybody a resume. And so it just got me thinking,
yeah.
you know, what's the role of a resume today? You've obviously pointed us toward accomplishments as
mm-hmm.
the key. Can you talk about how you look at resumes today and, you know, any tips there?
Yeah. So, and it is true, people still do want to see a resume, and you wonder, when will the resume go away? I mean, if you look at people who are in the whole digital and creative space, they have their actual work.
The portfolio.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
showing as
mm-hmm.
their resume. People do, and I don't think we'll ever lose this, people do chronologically want to see where you've been. And so in some respects, it is very much still a traditional resume,
mm-hmm.
but it's not your job description. It's, again, it's the accomplishments piece. And nothing fancy. You know how some people now are putting quotes down the side? Oh, please, no.
No, thank you.
I swear to you, if you want it to be not short and concise, but you still need that white space. When people see things all over a resume and you've got to search for it,
yeah.
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, if someone is doing a search and they're using LinkedIn, that's how you get knocked out, because you don't have the right things on the resume. And again, you can be the best person for the job, but if it doesn't come up in that algorithm or whatever they're mm-hmm. using, mm-hmm. you're out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it strikes me that things like Indeed or mm-hmm. Monster or any of the other, I mean, there seem to be so many of these job aggregators now. And half the time I wonder if people put, especially more senior level jobs on those, just because they need to tick the box saying we, you know, we look for an outside person.
Right.
But I often wonder with those, is it really just like keywords that it's filtering for?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And that's why I say good people don't get through. Because what do you know? How do you know what those keywords are? And truly, I do think in very senior level jobs, they're not on. It's rare you see mm-hmm. a really senior level job yeah. on LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. So, you know, with the, tell me about the role of the recruiter today, because talking about disruption, mm-hmm. right? It seemed that, and I could be dreaming this, but there were maybe a lot more recruiters. I hadn't looked at the landscape. Maybe it's something I'll do, but like how many recruiters were there 10 years ago versus today? Or is it still the specialists like Heyman that really consistently have that reputation and brand for delivering, and they have a consistent, you know, deal flow, for lack of a better word?
I think that, I think during the recession, you know, the financial crisis back then, that's when you saw some search firms, especially if you're out on your own, you didn't make it. But I do think you see some people trying it on themselves, mm-hmm. you know, hanging up their own shingle and trying it. But we haven't seen all that much change in number of search firms.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You know, you have the big search firms with the communications practice. Now, when we started, when Heyman Associates started, none of the generalist firms had communications practices.
Is that right? Interesting.
So now they all do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so, before, there weren't any.
Right. Okay. So the history of Heyman is more in that DNA of communications.
Yes.
What is sort of the, what drives you guys? What's the why?
It's fun.
Yeah?
And truthfully, I mean, I think we get to keep up with the trends, what's going on in the industry. It's like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to figure out, okay, who, you can look at any resumes and say, that person checks every single box. They're great. And then you meet them and you think, oh my God, you are so not right for this.
For a chemistry perspective or whatnot?
Yeah, that's the whole piece. It's sure. all that fit and not only, I mean, I think for what we're trying to do too is who's going to solve that issue now,
uh-huh.
but who also is going to have the long, who's going to be able to take an organization forward, whatever that forward is. And a lot of times going into it, I don't think companies know what that forward thinking is going to be, you know, because there could be changes at the top or something happens and the company's got to shift completely.
Yeah.
So that's really, I think, the real fun part of it.
Cool. Yeah, I was reading again about CMO chefs, mm-hmm. right? And I think, I don't know if it's 18 months or now less the average tenure.
Right.
And it seems like CEOs are cycling through pretty quickly too. Oh,
isn't that like 3 years or two
I think,
to 3 years?
I think it's 2 to 3.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
And that's, again, why you see a lot of changes at the top. You're attached to that CEO who's sitting there. I become the CEO. Well, why do I want you sitting in that chair?
Mm-hmm.
I want to
mm-hmm.
bring in my own person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you see a lot of the shifts happening.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, question for you. In terms of someone who's just starting out, right? So I noticed a couple things, and this is a shift in the workplace, which will make me sound old, but shift in the workplace.
Well, I can sound older.
Over the last, I don't know, few years, where it seems like people are very comfortable not kind of communicating the old ways. In other words, you're walking down the hall, someone doesn't look you in the eye, most people anymore, and they just kind of look away. So in our organization, I always make the point of just like, saying hello to everybody, good morning, whatever. So it's in my last organization, it was the same way. It was sort of like people just sort of averting their eyes. Now, I guess the question I have, if you're, it doesn't have to be just starting out, but if you're someone who's actually starting to look for a job and you're maybe you are more of an introvert or you're uncomfortable with sort of just the baseline social interaction, any advice for those folks?
Get over it. No, I mean, and I don't mean to be flippant on that answer, I think that, especially for a communications person,
right,
you have to have those interpersonal skills. If you're sitting with senior management and you're advising them on something, you've got to be able to me, that shows you're confident in what you're saying. And if you can't look them in the eye and say, you're going down the wrong path, you got to be able to do it, or you're not going to be successful. I worry about the younger people coming up because they're so used to doing everything looking down and not at someone. I do think, though, colleges and universities have noticed this.
Is that right?
Yes, and are really teaching. Their Career Development Center is really working hard on back to basics. Here are the things you need to do. How to give a good handshake. How to look somebody in the eye. How to write a thank you note. You know, all the things that we grew up with, they've got to relearn. And I think that people are focused on that again.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's actually kind of refreshing
in a
way. Because I do think, you know, we like in any search, right? You go through, you're looking at someone who's, quote, done this before, kind of, you know, I may need to take some risk on somebody, but I don't want to be too big of a risk. And then, you know, when you actually meet them in person, that culture piece is almost as important, mm-hmm, as important
absolutely
as the skill set, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Here's my new thing that I'm on to. You know, I used to be totally against panel interviews, and I am against panel interviews.
Meaning a group of people
group
interviewing
of people.
An individual?
Yep. Uh-huh. But at some point, I think you need to meet the candidate outside the office, like having a meal.
Uh-huh.
And if it's a team, have lunch with the team, because you see how they interact with a group, but also the candidate gets to see how people interact. And I think it tells volumes, mm-hmm, of what the place is really like, because we all know this. Everybody is on their best behavior in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear it all the time. And then someone comes to us and says, oh my God, they didn't tell me about this. And you're like, well, did you do your homework on the place? Yes, I absolutely did my homework on the place. But then you find out about people who don't get along, or there's infighting somewhere, wherever it is. So if you have that opportunity to bring people together, I think a little bit more of that comes out. You know, and you always hear, just watch what goes on in a reception area or a lobby, because you definitely see it, or you hear things. Even, I always say this to people, even as you walk down the hall to someone's office, do people scatter when that person's coming down the hall? It's all the little things.
Interesting.
Or is it, hey, how are you? You know, you can tell how relaxed a place is, mm-hmm, or not.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, it reminds me, I hired someone, and it was down to two candidates that were both, I thought, just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They met the group. Everybody was like, wow, it's a tie, right? And so I took a break. I didn't quite know what to do. And so I just walk around the office, chit-chat. And so I went up to the receptionist, Arlene, mm-hmm, this lovely woman. And Arlene could talk to anybody, right? And so I posed my dilemma to her, and she's like, oh, Paul, I think you should pick Greg over this person. Because you know what? He was polite and nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy was rude. And mm-hmm, I was like, it's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got those stories about people who didn't treat receptionists well, didn't treat maybe somebody down in the lobby. We had one, this was a number of years ago, but we had one where someone didn't treat, they had a car service take them back to the airport, and one person didn't treat the driver well.
Mm.
The driver was the CEO's driver.
Oh.
He walked right into the CEO's office, uh-huh, and said, oh, who was that? They just were so rude to me. Mm-hmm. That made the decision. It was a hands down decision.
Yeah.
CEO said, that's why I have you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's all the little things that people don't think about.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're really observant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your point about walking down the hallway with the person,
yeah.
or, you know, your hiring manager or whatnot, and are people friendly to that person,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking away, whatever. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about preparing for an interview. And this is one thing that I've noticed is it just surprises me to this day. So if we have a candidate come in, I am shocked how few people have gone to the website, looked at recent press releases,
mm-hmm.
looked at our social feed, even coming up, like there was one candidate who came in a week after we had this huge announcement that was literally everywhere in our space, not one peep.
Right.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what is your advice on how do you help people prepare?
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we still say it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
And I think, you know what, I think some people think, well, look what I've done in my career. Some people think I can get away with my charm.
Yeah.
Some people think, well, I can certainly get through this interview. No, you can't. You need to know, what are the nuances there? What's really going on? We always say, if you're going to a public company, as you're in the elevator, check what the stock is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Check if there have been any announcements. We literally had someone one day go into an interview, literally opened the door to the lobby,
yeah.
and a merger had just been announced.
Oh, God.
And doing, you know, one of these, oh, my God, now what do I do? Will they cancel my interview? I understand.
Yeah.
But they had done their homework.
Right.
They knew, and they commented on it. As they were walking down the hall, and guess what? They got the job because mm-hmm. they did their homework. And we all know, you can do a ton of research now,
yeah.
and it's not very difficult. Just be on their website, and as you say, look at what's going on. Read it all.
Yeah, yeah.
You can find people who know people with LinkedIn, who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that you can get the story from.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't just think that your accomplishments and your charm is gonna get you the job, because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, great point. You know, the other part of that story is, and this is more from when I was on the agency side, but the other part of it is, you know, what more would you have done? In other words, we just made that announcement,
mm-hmm.
as you've seen. What else would you have added to it? I always thought it was like a really interesting question.
Yeah.
And
people
how
will
would
give
you have
ideas.
Extended it?
Yeah, people
yeah.
will give ideas in interviews.
Yeah.
And we'll say, wow, I read this and I'm just curious. You can ask, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then be able to offer your advice. And at least you feel like you're engaged, or you come across like you're really engaged in this and excited about
yeah.
the opportunity.
Yeah.
We always say to people too, want the job. It's that simple.
Yeah. And if you don't, what are you wasting everybody's time for?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Okay, we're going to be right back. All right, I'm going to pivot a little bit. You know, let's say you've gotten through the bots and the screeners, and you've gotten past HR, you know, and you're actually going to come in for an interview. You've done your homework,
mm-hmm.
right? What are some of the other things you've got to keep in mind? I mean, it seems like the workplace is changing so much, and that if you're the one who shows up in a suit, you may look completely out of place, or if you don't show up in a suit, you know, you could look out of place. Those
right.
kind of things. What advice do you give?
Yeah, and that's something I think people do really have to pay attention to again. You know, you think it's so basic. You're going on an interview. I've got to dress like I'm going on an interview, but you've got to dress like the place too.
Right.
But at the same time, you are the one still on the interview. So we always say, you know, err on the side of being a little more dressed than not dressed enough. I don't mean that. Yeah, you know
right,
what I mean.
Right,
by
right,
that.
Right.
But,
sure.
You know, you can't, if a place is business casual, and this is where a recruiter is always helpful because
yeah.
we can tell you exactly how to dress. I say to people, if it's business casual to men, just lose the tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you still need to go in like you're going on an interview.
Yeah,
you can't
sure.
be so casual, because then I think you don't come across as one, you really want the job, or you still have to be, you still are a professional. But we've had people say, well, you know, and we've had clients, sometimes if I question it, I did it the other day to a client. I asked them, I said, when I met you, you had a pair of jeans on. This is the CEO. I said, you had a pair of jeans on. How do you expect people to come to an interview?
Right, right.
And they were very honest with me. They said, well, you know, we'd really prefer that they don't come in a pair of jeans, but not a suit. You'll look totally out of place, yeah. And everyone in the office will know you're on an interview.
Yeah, that's right.
Still, put the jacket on.
Yeah.
Just a pair of pants and a jacket. For a woman, you can still do the same thing.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Or wear a dress that you feel comfortable in, but you still have to be that professional and you're still the one on the interview.
Okay. Interesting. Now, traditional thank yous, right?
Yes.
What's the protocol? And also the thing I wonder about now is if you did, is it email only, or is there a role for a mail thank you anymore? Does that make you just look old, or does that make it look special because no one gets mail anymore?
You know, you hear both.
Yeah.
You hear absolutely both. While you were asking the question, I was trying to think, when was the last time I got a written thank you?
Yeah.
And probably in the last year, I can count on one hand.
Wow.
How many written thank yous,
okay,
I've gotten. But when it is handwritten, I have to tell you, I cherish them because they're really thoughtful. But an email, if you're interviewing, you know, with a company with, I don't know, five people in senior management, an email to them is just fine.
Yeah.
But it's got to have substance in it too, because you do know that all those people are going to say, did you get a thank you? Did you get a thank you?
Yep.
What did it say? If it's the exact same email, they're going to think all you did was cut and paste it and then put my email address in.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make it what was relevant in that conversation that you can still add to it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way. They don't have to be long, because we all know. No one's reading anything.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it's short and to the point.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a thank you on a hire that we're making. Someone who didn't make the cut, who had a typo in the thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that person was going for speed.
Yes.
Right, trying to get it the same day, rather than taking the time to kind
yeah.
of...
Yeah. Well, we always say, don't do the thank you while you're going down in the elevator.
Yeah.
That doesn't go over well.
That doesn't look too good. All right, one other question on sort of how an employer sizes up people. What's the role, like, you know, we have so much of our lives online now.
Mm-hmm.
Any interesting tidbits there?
Some people will take themselves off of social media during a search.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's your social media, and it should always be appropriate. You know, you hear the horror stories of what people find on social media. I will tell you, we Google every single person that we submit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have found things and taken people out of searches for what we have found.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's not appropriate. Or it's so bad, we got to get them off.
Right.
But people don't think about, I mean, and I'm talking more the younger people.
Right.
They don't think about that party that they went to on a Saturday night that someone's not taking a picture and putting it out there. And is that really how you want people to view you?
Right, right.
So I always say, be very, very cautious of it.
Yeah, you kind of have
even,
to curate it. Huh?
Yeah, and even the whole thing of what you say on Twitter, you know, it can be your opinion. But what if where you're going is the opposite?
Yes.
They're
yes.
going to look at it and
that's
say,
right.
from that culture fit, you're not the right fit.
Right. And, you know, there's someone who I know who was a little, let's say, brash and bold.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that person's sort of like signature.
Yeah.
And so when that person left their organization, it took a little while to find the next thing. But they didn't change.
Right.
They said, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And just own that, and then found a place where
yeah.
they're like, we welcome that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the other way, I guess, you can play
mm-hmm.
it, is trying to hold out to find the right fit. But
well, the
yeah.
right fit is the most important thing. So if they had to hold back
yeah.
on whatever their views were,
yeah.
they weren't going to be happy and wouldn't last.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Trends.
Okay.
What kind of big picture
yeah.
trends are you
big
seeing?
Big picture trends. You know how for a while it was all about, and it still is, all about the reputation? Whether it's a company's reputation, it's an executive, whatever, it was all about reputation. And I think now the word is purpose.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because everybody wants to go someplace where that organization has a purpose. And all the millennials want to work for a place.
Yeah.
We have to get over this millennial thing. But, you know, they all want to go for a place that stands for something. So
absolutely.
What's the purpose?
Yeah.
So I think what that has done to the function is it's made the role of the communicator that much more important. And what it's done is it's caused the communications role to be broader and more diverse. So it might include the branding, the marketing, and there's more and more emphasis on people and culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about the whole employee value proposition, that's huge because they're using that for recruiting and, more importantly, for retention. So it's just, I think it's great because everything has just really, really opened up. And in some places, they might put government relations under there or the marketing function.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of coming together. Then add the whole content piece and everybody's hit with so much of it.
Yeah.
How do you really cut through all of it to figure out what's the right content for this company that aligns with the business objectives?
Right.
And I think that's hard because you've got everything coming at you at once. So that piece goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, and again, this goes back to maybe the internal communications. And really, no, it's internal and external because it's all about trust. How do you get your employees to trust what the company or organization is doing? But how do you get the outside world
mm-hmm.
to trust
mm-hmm.
too? Because everybody's trying to pick at everything
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
And so, again, it just makes that communications role, I think, even more exciting. And just, you can do more.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I've seen that, you know, in a lot of industries and also in particularly in healthcare, there seem to be a lot of organizations who are aligning marketing and communications
mm-hmm.
issues, events, like the
yep.
whole kind of spectrum. But I still believe it starts inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing with the beautiful internet and social media and everything else is it's not, I still think people are probably doing more or less what they did before all of that, but it's much easier and quicker to be found out if
right.
you're hiding something, right?
Oh, most, yeah.
And that trust that takes such time to build.
And only a second to lose.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We, in my organization, we recently did a listening tour. CEO wanted to do a listening tour and went to all of the facilities across the country. And I think people were just blown away that he would take the time
mm-hmm.
to do that, right? To listen, and now and then to enact change from
right.
the things that are happening. But I think, you know, those types of things, I'm learning just more and more, the internal first
yeah.
is where you really need to start. Well, whereas a lot of folks, I think, start with the big splashy brand campaign
mm-hmm.
or initiative or even CSR initiative or
mm-hmm.
whatnot. But if it's all falling apart inside, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people inside are the ones that are out talking
yeah.
and they can be on their Instagram or whatever, and you want them saying the positive things and not saying the negative things
yeah.
that then impact the brand and the image. So they're, you know, the brand ambassadors, but that's what you want. And
yeah.
again, you want people to feel good about where they go. You have to go to work every day. Don't you want to feel good about where you're going
100%.
And what you're doing?
Yeah.
And giving back, and people like to feel, again, that they are a part of something.
Yeah.
And not just on this little island out here.
Yeah.
So how are you bringing them all into, here's who we are, what's our purpose?
Yeah. And purpose aligns really well with, you know, the idea of you want to be a leader, right,
right.
as a CEO. Well, you need followers,
mm-hmm.
right? And you need to help people understand where you're going more than just we're driving shareholder
yep.
know, returns or whatever. And having that higher purpose, mm-hmm. that why, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. I like it. All right, Lisa. Well, that's really interesting points of view you brought together today. I think it's going to be valuable for our listeners, and appreciate you taking the time. Any final thoughts as we close out?
Yes, because I always love to end everything with a quote. And actually, this is must have been in a fortune cookie for me, but I think it just sums it up. Care and attention to the key relationships in your life will pay off.
I like it. Okay. All right.
It says it all.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. And we'll see you on another episode of The Paul Wood Show.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's the public show. We got to talk, talking, we podcast. It's a public show. The public show. It's a public show. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's the public show. We got to talk, talking, we podcast. It's a public show.